Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke. We have continued our study for the last several weeks, and we will do so until Advent. And in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, the parable of the widow's persistence is introduced as a parable about prayer and not losing heart. And then it moves into a story about justice and ends with a question about faith. So there's a great movement in these verses. And then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. And for a while he refused. But later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them, and yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for standing with us, especially in times of stress, weariness, and distress. Your compassion supports and upholds us in every time and season of life. Healing Christ, come to us now. Inspire us to reach out in boldness to care for others. Give us the courage to persist in seeking justice and working for peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, I'm sure that all of you have heard the saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease or the oil. Yeah. That proverb is often used dismissively. It suggests that the only way and the only reason the grease gets applied is to remove the nagging annoyance of a squeaky sound. Now, whether it's a perpetual high-pitched chirping sound or this low-pitched creaking kind of sound, used in that sense, the proverb can really reveal our feelings and responses about chronic complainers, be they customers. I know you have friends and people in your life that way, co-workers, customers, even maybe fellow church folks who are constant complainers, although I've never seen that in my life. But squeaky wheels are those who have learned that if they complain loudly and long enough, they can eventually get their way. Their tactics are effective, but unpleasant. And this tactic has crept into our personal relationships, into the church, and into a nation that seems so divided at this time. Perhaps the thinking is this: the squeakiest wheel will get our grease, anyway, let's not go there. But that's another story. Or is it another story? Let me ask, is that really the point of the illustration Jesus uses in today's gospel reading? Is the widow the squeaking wheel who eventually gets her way because the unjust judge finally got worn out? Her constant complaining must have been annoying. There's something uncomfortable, though, about this when we think of it in this way. It seems to reward nagging behavior. Even more troubling is the implication that God is like the unjust judge. Does this parable portray God as one who is unresponsive and uncaring until finally the wheel has squeaked enough? If so, that sounds even more troubling. It suggests that God is like the parent who finally caves to the child in the grocery store who wants a candy bar. I know you've seen this. I want candy, I want candy. Mom finally just so frustrated because he starts to get loud. Okay, gives him the candy. Well, does this mean the same thing? Does this mean that the purpose of prayer is to nag God until we get what we want? And that we are more likely to succeed if we ask other people to pray with us. Like a bunch of naggers coming at God. If I were God, I would just be really annoyed. The parable certainly seems to be set up that way. The story is introduced with a lead-in about the need to pray always and not lose heart, we read in the first verse of 18. But the movement here, you see, is from lesser to something greater. From the illustration drawn from daily life to a reflection of the way and God is that stands beyond our human understanding of who God really is. And that is what we need to breathe in today. Take that in today. It is the whole text that we are looking at. Elsewhere in Luke's gospel, back in chapter 11, if you remember, was the perseverance of prayer. Jesus takes this illustration and he kind of makes that same move in talking about persevering in prayer. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. And then he continues to say, and if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? What a gift that is for us. But unlike that self-absorbed neighbor who is in chapter 11, or the unjust judge in today's parable, God responds to our needs because responding to justice with love is essential to God's character. It is in God's very nature. The logic of this parable is this same move from the lesser to the greater. If even humans, with all of our faults and foibles and self-concern, can be reluctantly, even begrudgingly, move from the inertia of self-love and having things my way and begin to love others, imagine how much more that is true for God, who is already moving toward us in love. This story is about one thing. This story really is about God's essential character, which is love that brings unity and peace and justice. In this parable, persistence is not about the other, but really about what's going on in oneself. And what do I mean by that? Jesus' message is for us to not become discouraged and give up because God doesn't move on our timetables or things don't happen just exactly like we want it right now when we're ready for things. Persistence, you see, is an expression of faith and trust in God, in trust in our Creator. By being persistent in prayer, one is becoming increasingly clear and focused. Persistence is not about escalating one's complaint by exaggerating how big your problem is. Nor is persistent about shouting louder until somebody upstairs hears you. Some kind of action. God, act. Squeaking wheels aren't really clamoring, you see, for attention because they enjoy nagging. I don't think so. They are calling attention to the need for grease to solve the problem. The grease of love. Likewise, persistence is about being focused and determined and clear. It is about never giving up, your search for unconditional love, oneness, and justice. Persistence is about becoming more refined as our search leads us to be more precise in what we're actually asking for. Persistence is about unity and oneness with Jesus Christ. The persistence that Jesus speaks of is the movement from thinking about everything one could possibly think of that could be relevant and persuasive, to thinking about the one thing that is needed, the one thing that one truly lacks, the one thing that is truly satisfying. It is the grease. The grease is about God and His love for all of us. Remember the prayer. It is Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Not necessarily on my timetable or yours, but Thy will be done. Even if there is no answer right now or a change in direction. Now, I read about a mother who has a child who is severely autistic. This was on Facebook. Someone I know that knows, you know how you know somebody that knows somebody. Well, anyway, this was posted a couple years ago. And after numerous visits to the doctor, beginning at the age of 15 months old, the unrelenting issues even causing her own marriage to fall apart. I don't know her personally, but her testimony sticks with me. Now, just imagine watching a child beat his head against walls and bite his arms until they bleed. A child who didn't connect to anyone and screamed all the time. And yes, that's what they do. And she finally said enough, enough. She persisted and she persisted with doctors to find a way to help this child's body, mind, and spirit nutritionally. And she prayed and asked God to give her answers. Took a while. She did not accept the doctors when they told her that he wouldn't make it to 10 years old without institutionalizing him. He is now 6 years old. He is in school, loving and sweet and interactive. Does he have moments? She said, yes, he does. But she has learned to let the autism and her heartbreak be her teacher. She has learned in this experience to persist not in getting what she wanted, but in knowing God more and trusting God more, that God in time would heal him in some way. She has learned to be a better mom and a devout follower of Jesus and to persist in finding answers when no one else could find it. And she did. But here's the amazing thing. She doesn't give accolades to herself. She gives all the glory to God all the time. And now she helps other moms and dads going through the same kind of pain to find answers somewhere. In calling for justice and in calling attention to truth, in finding new and creative solutions to life's bigger problems, we are called to a life of persistence, not in getting my way or your way, but in seeking and trusting God, who is our creator, our healer, our sustainer of life, our redeemer. In the widow's persistence, she devoted herself in the end to faith, a life of faith, seeking truth, you see, with love. It is that kind of persistence to which we are called. Persistence that seeks God will be blessed. It will be blessed. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he taught them prayer as opening oneself to God, praying that God's will be done and God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. He exhorts us to ask, search, and knock on those doors in the same way, to persist in seeking this and trusting in God's goodness and nothing else. And now this parable invites us to the persistence in prayer that Jesus is describing. Constant prayer. Not as complainers. Not being pushy. Not wanting our way necessarily, but to keep that oil, that grease of love around everything we're dealing with in our lives and as a church. To be persistent, to be tenacious followers who seek God's reign and its coming among us. To believe that thy kingdom come is here and is coming greater and greater in this world. In everything we set out to accomplish, it must be that we promote only love, unity, oneness, oneness in the body of Christ. There can be no division among us. We can't stand when there's division. God continues to be persistent in reaching out to us despite our distractions, despite our agendas, despite our complaints, despite our refusals to even listen. God comes at us with love. It's not about us versus them anymore, folks. It's about we. It's about being whole as a body of Christ. I think in the midst of any kind of chaos or unrest that we find ourselves in, we must ask, and I think this is important for us to ask right now, what is God inviting us to right now? In the character of the widow who persisted in seeking truth and love, is that kind of justice that brings wholeness, and she never gave up, even when she was ignored, she never gave up. So take heart, friends. Be of good courage and persist. For God hears and cares and persistently moves toward us in love so that we can experience this great oneness here and in the world in Christ Jesus. And then we will have the power, the blessing, and the joy that being restored by God. Amen.